Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how was Nani able to write songs in a language that she didn't speak? Noam Vazana, Nani, is a singer, songwriter, and musician. She plays the trombone and piano and sings in English and in Ladino, which is also known as Judeo-Spanish. Nani was born in Israel in 1982. Her parents are Sephardic Jews who were originally from Morocco. Although only Hebrew was spoken at home, Nani's grandmother spoke Ladino and sang Ladino songs with her when she was a child. Vazana studied at the Academy of Music in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. In 2006, she went to the Netherlands to study at the Amsterdam Conservatory. A few years later, she decided to settle permanently in the Netherlands. Nani is a professor at the London Performing Academy of Music and the Jerusalem Music Academy. She chairs the Amsterdam Artist Collective and founded YDIY Music and Nova Productions. She's performed at many festivals and other venues in different countries and has received numerous awards for her work. Nani is one of the few artists in the world who write and compose new songs in Ladino, which is considered a UNESCO endangered language. In her new album, Que Haber, What's New, she aims to attract a newer, younger audience to the language by capturing its ancient spirit and culture while propelling it into the 21st century with socially pertinent lyrics celebrating migration, gender, and female empowerment. You'll be able to hear two of these new songs on this program.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Nani. First, could you tell us a little bit about your own background, exactly where you're from, and tell us a little about your family and where they were from?
Sure. Thanks for having me, by the way. I was born in Israel. My family's from Morocco. I grew up in Beersheba. It's a city in the south of Israel. My parents are both Moroccan, and my grandmother on my mother's side is the one who spoke Ladino. We were actually not allowed to speak Ladino at home as kids. My father forbade it, so I was only able to communicate with her in Ladino when we were alone. So it was a little bit of our little secret language.
Did she speak Hebrew?
Not very well. She's like her mother tongue was Arabic, I think, and then Ladino as well. They were like the two languages she spoke well, and she was like learning Hebrew. She came, she was already old, right?
So well, that happens a lot with the older generation that they, you know, in a lot of places that they never learned the language of the country.
Yeah.
But your mother must have spoken with her in...
No, my mother spoke with her in Arabic. Mm-hmm. So my mom never spoke Ladino to me, although she, like, now I realize she sometimes used singular words, you know, like she would say when she was cold, she would say frio, which means cold in Ladino, but also in Spanish. So, yeah. So it, I guess you carry the root around you. It doesn't matter where you go.
Why wouldn't they let you speak Ladino?
I don't think they ever told me a reason. But I'm only assuming that my dad wanted to disconnect from the past. I mean, his generation, it was kind of a fashion, right? That you need to forget the past and move on with your life as an immigrant. I think a lot of people, not only people who immigrated to Israel, other immigrants in other countries, and from my generations, have experienced the same thing, that their parents wanted to disconnect from the past and reconstitute themselves as, you know, new citizens of the new world.
So how did you become interested in Ladino?
I forgot about it, right? So I spoke with my grandmother when I was a kid, and then she passed away when I was 12. And I kind of left it all behind me. I wasn't really aware of a lot of the culture or the music. And then I went to study classical music, and At some point, I transitioned into jazz and I started writing my own songs and performing with them. And after already having a career for like 8 or 9 years performing internationally, I was invited to play in Morocco. That was my first visit. I'd never been to Morocco before. And then I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I visit my grandmother's hometown? And then I went to Fez. And there on the street, I heard people singing. It was some kind of a street party. And one of the songs that they sang was a song that my grandmother sang to me when I was a child. So it resonated with me. And I came back to that moment where I heard it in the kitchen. And that made me want to know more about my past. So I just started researching online, finding out more about songs and about the culture and history of my grandmother's generation. And slowly that transitioned into practicing music from that discipline.
When you heard the music on the street, were they singing in Ladino or in Arabic, but using
they were
the same
singing
tune?
In Arabic.
Well, let's go back a little bit and talk about your studies. Can you tell us specifically what you studied and why you went to the Netherlands and what prompted you to stay there?
I've studied at the Music Academy in Tel Aviv and later on also in Jerusalem. And then eventually I studied in Amsterdam Conservatory, which is basically the reason why I came to the Netherlands to study at the conservatory. And I stayed there because it was nice, easy going, great to travel from. So yeah, it's just a very nice, easygoing, comfortable place.
What did you specialize in music?
I learned classical trombone and classical singing, so opera, and also choir conducting.
You're also a professor at the London Performing Academy of Music and the Jerusalem Music Academy. What do you teach there?
Music business. I have developed my own platform called YDIY Music. So DIY stands for do it yourself. As I've crafted a career for myself as an independent musician, a lot of time I would get requests for advice from fellow musicians. And after, you know, doing that pro bono for 5 or 6 years, it kind of developed into a trade. In 2019, I launched a website by the same title, ydiymusic.com, that has a lot of free information for emerging musicians about how to launch their international career on their own, which developed into courses that I started offering online. And then the universities saw these courses. They were pretty successful, especially during COVID, because people all of a sudden had free time and realized they can study online. So they asked me if I could teach these courses in the institutions. So it was kind of the other way around, like what you would do normally in an academic trajectory. You'd have to grow into the academy. And I was already out of the academy for a really long time, but was like outsourced, resourced, you know, later on. They asked me, could you come back? I like that move. I'm happy that I have really nice students now that I can share their adventures.
That's really interesting because I think a problem that a lot of artists have, not just musicians, but in all the fields of art, is making themselves known. I don't want to call it marketing exactly, but you know what I mean. I mean, I've known some excellent artists who just don't know how to kind of get their work out to people.
I guess it is a challenge, but I think you really have to focus on your target audience and find a niche for yourself that makes you stand out. If you can't stand out, it's very difficult to build a career around something that sounds the same as other things. A lot of people ask me, how do you make an almost extinct language financially viable? And I'm like, yeah, it's because it's almost going extinct. It is financially viable. It's the other way around. If you have something very unique, there is a bigger chance that you will be able to find a very specific group of people who is interested in what you do.
Can you tell us a little bit about your first albums before you started recording in Ladino?
The first two albums I made were in English. There was one song in Hebrew on one of them. And they were more like pop jazz albums, like modern songwriting. There was a little bit of jazz harmonies in their specific rhythms that I've used from the jazz world. But the chords mainly were from the classical world. So it was kind of, I mean, at the time I used to call it magic realistic pop. I don't know. I mean, it's not a genre. I made it up. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something that combines a lot of, there's a symphonic attitude, there's a jazz attitude, and I bring it back into pop. So it's didn't really sound as similar as other things that were on the market. And then I also used to play trombone and piano at the same time, simultaneously. So that was also a spectacle. So a lot of people, I think, booked me back then because I was doing something unique already. But then transitioning into Ladino, I mean, I thought at the beginning that I would have to find a completely new audience, but I was surprised to discover that my audience stayed with me. Because I guess when they signed up to who I was, they already understood that I was an artist to begin with. And then the style of what I do is only a mean to express emotion. It's not necessarily what I'll do for the rest of my life. So then, even within the previous albums, you can see a transition in style. The first album is very poppy, second album is more jazzy. Then I've done a movie soundtrack in between, which was instrumental. It only had one song, and the nine other pieces were instrumental. That was more like chamber music. And then I transitioned into traditional Ladino. And then again, I transitioned into writing my own songs in Ladino. That's original songs that I wrote and composed. And that's the current album, Que Habel. The name of the album, the title, Que Habel, means what is new in Ladino. So it's a little bit of a wordplay because, what is new in a dead language?
Tell us about the, let's say, the journey that you went through with a little more detail from the time that you discovered Ladino, which was, I think, in 2014. And then tell us more about the first album that you released and then the recent one.
The first album was kind of a little bit made by mistake. I originally thought, let's record a demo and let's see, where it gets us. I mean, we could maybe duplicate a few copies, give them to people, try to get bookings, that kind of thing. And then midway into working with the band, the guitarist left the band. And then midway into recording the album, the guy who committed to record the album decided he doesn't want to continue recording the album. There were a lot of problems at the forming of this record. So at some point I just let it go. And I thought, like, yeah, we're never going to finish it. And then at a certain point, all of a sudden, like a year later, I got an email with the files. And I actually sat down myself at home and I added extra pieces and I mixed it myself. Because again, I did not think it will be released as an album. I thought it will be a demo. And once it got released, and once we put two videos on YouTube from the record, it kind of exploded. We already had like a 500,000 views right away. So that kind of, yeah, we had to actually manufacture that album three times because it sold out.
You said that those were traditional Sephardic songs, right?
Yeah, it's like the 10 most common Sephardic songs that everybody knows and loves.
So, when did you start writing your own songs? And since you didn't really speak Ladino as a child, how did you learn it well enough to write songs in that language?
I took lessons. So I performed with those traditional songs for about 2 years. And in the third year of performing, I felt that something was missing. And I'm a singer-songwriter, so I felt like I was always performing covers, which is not my thing. So I decided that I need to try. And then I did a collaboration with the Amsterdam Roots Festival. They basically commissioned me to write new materials in Ladino, and it was not personal repertoire. It was more of a celebration of Ladino from all over the world. So then they gave me a lot of freedom because I was able to invite singers. So I invited a singer from Syria and a singer from Morocco and a singer from Turkey. And then we explored a lot of different regions where Ladino is spoken. And after doing this project, I thought that was a very good start. So that we didn't do a record of this project, but the music was written. I wrote the music. And then it gave me taste for more. So I started writing, I think that was around 2018, 2019, starting writing my own repertoire, my own personal songs in Ladino. inspired by my grandmother's stories, but also some personal experiences. And then I took lessons with a Ladino teacher to try and understand how I tackle the challenge of writing songs without being able to speak the language.
Do you speak Spanish?
No, I mean, very little. No habla mucho y no habla bien.
So tell us about the songs that you write, because you write songs in Ladino, in the old language, but about current topics. Can you speak to us a little about that?
That's kind of the concept of the album. So to make an almost extinct culture relevant again. And I think if you look into the demography of concert goers all over the world, especially for world music and jazz, global sound, whatever you want to call it, the audience is mainly 50, 60 years old and more, like about that lifetime. So how do you encourage people from my generation or younger to go to concert halls? It's challenging. So you got to give them something that is very intriguing, but on the other hand, very accessible. So Ladino is a very musical, easygoing, sexy language that can easily be adapted, especially because it has so many dialects. So then I incorporate in my work dialects from Turkey, dialects from Bulgaria, dialects from Portugal. So you have really a big variety of from North Africa. You have a lot of countries where you touch people, so people get connected to the materials very quickly. And then when you tell the story, I mean, it's a language that nobody understands. So you always have to tell a story before you perform a song. And then the stories are very human. They're coming from a very human point of view, very common denominator, but not the lowest common denominator. So they usually deal with folk tales or magical realism or rituals. Or traditions, and that type of content also touches a lot of people from a primary point of view, very formative experiences. Like for me, when I write in Ladino, I experience myself as a child more than I ever do in any other type of music. So I think that my writing is more naive and more sweet when I write in Ladino. So the experience is very honest and very straightforward. And that's the advantage of writing in a language you don't know well, because you don't have the cynicism, you know, to think too much in that new language. Then the topics I chose, for instance, we have female empowerment. We have a song about coming out of a transgender teenager.
And we're going to play that song for you at the end of the program.
I've composed and wrote songs about alternative passing away ceremonies, about a fairy tale about the bad fairies from the underworld that come to the surface to harm baby girls as they are born, and how the parents protect them by embodying the spirits of the good fairies to confuse the bad fairies that might be lurking about.
Let's listen to that song now. Here's Fada de mi corazón, Fairy of my heart.
Las estrellas de los cielos, querida, ya me basta tus ojos claros. Ellas son quiere alumbrar de ti al día. Ten paciencia con ti, querida, en estos días espera tú a venir. Será brillante, fada de mi corazón. Una cosa te diré, querida, el mundo no queda en sí. Muchas cosas yo pensar, ainda no te enseñar. Paciencia con ti, querida, estos días espera tú a venir, que amor será brillante, fada de mi corazón, fada de mi corazón. Mm-hmm. prima vez que yo te vide, querida, en mi alma pues tú entrades, rayos del sol me dates, y so quiero yo embraces. Ten paciencia con ti, querida, en estos días espera tú a venir, que amor será brillante. Estos días espera tú a venir, que amor será brillante, fada de mi corazón, fada de mi corazón.
So all these things, they connect very well to a new generation that I think is looking for meaning. We were like, we started this interview talking about why I was not allowed to speak Ladino at home. And I think that's because my father wanted to reconstitute his image, his personality, not as an immigrant, but as a child of the new world where he immigrated to. In this case, it was Israel. So we only spoke Hebrew at home. But other people, I would come, you know, people would come to me after shows and say, hey, I'm from Turkey. My grandmother speaks this dialect of Kurdish that nobody speaks anymore. Now your story inspired me to go and explore her heritage too. So I think the power of the story of your heritage, especially if you've been disconnected from it for a while, is very strong. It can take you places.
I think that's happening in Israel anyway, that they're beginning to appreciate all the different Jewish cultures that are in Israel. Whereas at the beginning, you know, maybe in the 50s or something, it was looked down on, not just Ladino, but Yiddish and all the others, Judeo-Arabic, all of them, and everybody had to speak Hebrew. But I think that now they're really starting to appreciate the different cultures, don't you think?
I think there is a transition. There is progress. People are looking into their past and find things to appreciate. But I think it's not specific to Israel. I think it's all over the world. Because everybody who immigrated, you know, especially in the 60s and the 70s, these were the generations that were told to leave the past behind.
Going back to your songs, you were speaking about the themes of your songs. What about the music? Do you base the music on traditional music at all, or is it jazz or classical?
It depends what the song requires. The style for me is only a way to express an emotion. So on the album, there's a lot of different styles. There are some songs that are inspired by mariachi. Some songs are inspired by classical choral music. I have a song that with only four trombone tracks and my vocals. There are songs that are more poppy, like the song about the fairies that I mentioned before. Fada de mi corazón is a little bit of like a Latin pop song. You really have to tune in and find out the intricacies of the soundscape yourself. But the album is divided into sections. So it starts with an introduction of, you know, three songs, and then that take you to a specific soundscape, more poppy. Then we transition into something more traditional. So there is mariachi and tango and a lot of other rhythms involved. And at the end, we escape into something more spacey. So we go we start with classical and we end on very traditional bulería. So it's like a journey. You start upbeat and then there is an excitement in the middle, a little bit of a breaking of the tension, and then raising it up for the end.
And you characterize your audience at all, or does your music just appeal to everybody, to different generations, different nationalities?
I don't see a lot of difference public-wise between countries. It's usually a mix. I think you see more young people in my shows than you see in other shows from similar genres. And I think it's because of the topics. Because the topics attract millennials. I mean, you can see less white heads in my concerts than in other concerts. But I hope that they will continue to come. And then maybe that's not only a bridge that is created with my music, maybe this will encourage them to visit other concerts too.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we might have left out?
Yeah, sign up for the newsletter on nanimusic.com/news.
Well, we'll include links. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Let's listen now to the song Sin Ningún Hijo Varón, Without Any Sons, from Nani Vezana's new album, Que Haber. You can read the lyrics, translations, and explanations of the two songs from this program on this page.
Maldita tripa de madre que siete hijas parió. Maldita tripa de madre sin ningún hijo varón. No vos maldigas mi padre, no vos maldigas mi señor. No vos maldigas mi padre, no mos maldigas mi señor. Si es por la vuestra guerra, la guerra la venzo yo. Si es por la vuestra guerra, la guerra la venzo yo. No mos maldigas mi padre, no mos maldigas mi señor. No mos maldigas mi padre, no mos maldigas mi señor. No mos maldigas mi señor. No mos maldigas mi señor, no mos maldigas mi padre, no mos maldigas mi señor, no mos maldigas mi señor. No mos maldigas mi señor. ¿Qué te haré él, mi hijo? Tiene chas de varón. ¿Qué te
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirod.com. See you next week.